All right, we're live. So this is going to take us back to the beginning of the lesson, so we'll do some review in a little bit. Return to the question originally asked in the introduction, noting whether there is anything you would like to add or to change to the answers you gave earlier. So it's the which question? As unusual, unique, and unexpected as it would be for any of us to be able to personally serve the president, it is even more unusual for any of us to personally serve the Lord God Almighty. That's the question that we talked about. Has your perspective on that changed?
Can you ask that question in a different way?
Ask that question in a different way. Why do you have any business serving Jesus?
Because he gave us his righteousness, and we have, out of thankfulness, we serve him for what he's done for us.
He commanded us to do it.
Thank you.
Yeah. He is our Lord. What he says goes, and he is our Savior. He loved us. Now this is our chance to love him back. And what business do we have hanging out with the president? Well, none. What business do we have hanging out with Jesus? He's our brother. What business do we have hanging out with God the Father? He loves us. He forgives us. We're part of his family. And he says, here's what the family business is, and we get to be a part of that. So we have every business running up to God and saying, I want to do this for you and offer my whole life to you in service.
Yeah. I'd like to add a little bit to that, because you are supposed to serve God's sanctioned leaders. Because it's God who puts the leadership in the world. And even if you cannot like what they say, we are under God's
We have this. The intro to last week was there's a motorcade going by, and you have some input for the president, so you can run up his window and try to get it, and you're not going to get close. And so the same thing is true with us and God. Naturally, there's a sin barrier, but Jesus has completely taken it down. And absolutely, right? Romans 13 says we get to honor these people every chance we get. And sometimes we need to remember the fourth commandment when we are having our discussions about our elected leaders, probably especially if there's some kids around, just to make sure that we teach them how to exercise their freedoms while at the same time honoring God. So the point's well taken. All right, here's another. Let's wrap this up. Stop and mull over the awesome privilege we have to be in service to Jesus, something eternally more privileged than serving the president. How important it is there for us to broaden our appreciation for our salvation, that is our justification, that empowers and motivates us for a life of service to Jesus, that's our sanctification. But Jesus is not yet finished with his good gifts. Then Jesus, in his grace, uses this life of service to not only benefit others, but to benefit us who are serving him. So to him be the glory for the chance to live our lives for him. What we want to do now today is talk about Fran, who's not in here. We should have invited her. She could have been our living example. But we do want to talk about your Fran. There are some Fran sheets over on the red table. Just make sure that everybody has a copy. It has a little chart up in near the top that says, friends who need Jesus. Going once, going twice. The other resource we will be referencing is the sheet that says B12 up on top, and we'll talk about how that fits in to our discussion. We're not going to go through this word for word, but we'll take a peek at that. So we've been talking a lot about Fran, and why should we care, and whose job is it, and how does this fit in? You know, is it reaching out the pastor's job? Is it reaching out the missionary's job? No, it's our job, and we get to do that. And there is no better missionary to your friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors than you. Because I could go, or we could hire someone to go, and a lot of times that happens, but when you go to your friend, it's been proven to be much more effective. So what this chart does is gives you a chance to identify who these people are. And then it will help you intentionally, maybe this week, or the week ahead, or in the very near future, to witness to that. So first, we need to write up the left-hand corner, identify people from among your circle of friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors who need to be reached with the good news of our Savior Jesus. So I want you to do that. There's some different categories. Just write somebody's name in there. If you want to make up your own category, I don't care. That's probably even better. So let's take about 5 minutes or so to see how many boxes we can get filled in. And this is not a guilt trip. This is not people that I should. This is what are my opportunities. And not that you're going to do every one of them, but who might these people be?
This afternoon, Mrs. Walker, or the not so nice way. Just remember that.
You have that smile on your face.
You want me to be your friend.
Hey, good doctor. Oh, that guy.
Do you fit the...
No, that's the most ironic part. You see, it took me 2 days to think.
Thank you, good man.
You're welcome.
This is not me answering your question, but would you guys have talked about any principle for the same playlist that you really want to go into the past? It might be easier for some people.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe that easiness isn't necessary. Not a big deal either way.
Yeah, something to think about, though. If it could save someone a step.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. That might that step be worth it.
Have a good weekend. Anything exciting happen?
I work for the Americans.
No. Oh. Have they been doing any better?
No.
No. I know they started off a little rocky. Oh, all right. How often do you play?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
friend.
So I got my.
Bruce, you go to the River Cat games a lot? Yeah?
Yeah.
I've never been to the River Cat game.
Haven't either.
You know, walk day, lot of people walk day. Oh my God.
Did you get a ticket? Yeah.
You missed it last night. Yes and no. Yes and no. The choir was phenomenal. The, I don't know what he was, singer that sang five songs with the loud band.
Yeah.
Good if you were dancing and with a cocktail. But at the most.
And I guarantee I would much rather sitting there listening to him than sitting up there.
You're quite the jet setter. don't let her drive or cook.
But then when you move on,
how's your friend coming?
Very much. I don't have any close friends that aren't Christians, though.
This whole problem is probably most people here, their friends are Christians.
And family, community, neighbors, stuff like that, but not people close to me.
So, you need to find a way to go access those other people.
But that doesn't mean they're going to be a close friend. It's usually
can be an acquaintance.
That, yes, if you don't have that in common, it's hard to be close with someone.
Yeah, and if you're not close, then you don't have a chance to bring stuff like that up. Well, you can.
But we got some non-Christians have experienced a crisis. Joel's friend brother got hit by a car.
Mm.
Another family.
I know him.
We're going to try to set up a table at Fair Oaks Library. Park Library. Carolyn Welch says the JW's put up a table every week and sit out there. So
that's give out materials.
I can't wait.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And everybody's okay with that? There's no.
Must be.
I guess they don't say, you know, they don't try to hook you, but they have their stuff there and they have a sign.
We'll do St. Mark's.
See what happens.
Do you think I have enough pencils and pencils? I think I have enough.
All right, time for a review. How do you feel about this exercise?
I don't need all these.
We had a good time.
Too much work?
No, no.
I think that's real. It takes a lot of hard work to do something like this.
For me, I mean, not doing the table, that was like, wow. It was not hard to fill those boxes. It's everywhere, and then, oh, guilty, guilty. But
that's not the point.
I mean, it just kind of opens your eyes. It's everywhere. And then I know another thing we're talking about our table is whether you know you're doing it or not, you're witnessing something. Good or bad. They're getting something from you, so watch. More to be.
A family friend who recently experienced a crisis. Yeah, God got you too, huh? Friedman, you're saying nothing. Still saying something.
Pam brought up that it's all about building relationships, and everyone is in the friend. You want to have a relationship with them. You think about the relationships as they continue, you want it to be a little longer than just a few years that we're doing this early. So eventually you got to talk about things that we're going to go beyond this lifetime.
These people are probably not coming to church next Sunday, but it's a long-term relationship, it's a long-term investment. Hopefully that will pay eternal dividends. Oh, Dr. Peterson, yes.
What Pat said, absolutely, the relationship is the key to being an effective witness, I think. Well, one of many keys, probably. But for people like me who are reluctant to go and establish new relationships, I feel much more comfortable just going with the ones that I've got. And this is a good reminder that, no, my job is to step out. Go ahead and be uncomfortable for a little bit. Because if I don't see that in front of me, I'll just slink back to my normal self. Not in the sick corner or look for a friend. Go to work. For that.
Okay. Fair.
Also, like, when you do get in that routine of, I don't want to go out of my comfort zone, think of who went out of their comfort zone to bring you to Christ or to share Jesus Christ with you. Because it happened with every one of us, somewhere, somehow. So just remember that if they did that for you, you can do that for someone else.
Well said. So I think that gives us to, now what are we going to do with this? Number one, underneath the chart, we have already identified among your friend people who need Jesus because they don't know him. Or because they strayed from him, I don't think we can rule out that group either. Mm-hmm. These may be our brand new Christians. Some of you said, well, I have Christian friends. Well, how close to Jesus are your Christian friends? So maybe that's a different segment to look at. We have written their names down, but now we need to place this piece of paper in a place where you will see it every day. Perhaps on the door of your refrigerator, under one of those refrigerator magnets. Or maybe on the dashboard of your car, or maybe on your computer monitor, maybe on your keyboard, or maybe on the fridge, you know, inside the fridge, where you're going to go. But you need to find a place where you are going to see it, and this is going to bug you every day. Because, yes, it is not law-oriented, but maybe we need just a little more incentive to say, okay, I'm going to have this person on my mind. So that's step one. You need to put this someplace where it's going to make a difference. And then pray. Is prayer really going to do anything? How come? How do you know?
Because Jesus said it would.
There you go. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Jesus says, do this. Jesus says, pray. Paul told the Thessalonians, pray continually. So this is definitely something to pray for. As Christians, we have a great concern for people, especially those we know and love, if they are not believers in Jesus or if they have drifted away from the relationship with Christ they once had. Pray for them regularly and specifically. Pray for them by name. And pray for them over and over again. Try to learn more about each person so that you can pray more specifically about them in their unique circumstances. But it's not just to make them a Lutheran. It's not just to get them to church. It's you care about these people and intentionally pray for them. Pray for the blessing and working of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives. Pray dangerously. Are you familiar with that one? Familiar with that expression to pray dangerously? Pray, Lord, use me to tell my friend more about Jesus. Praying dangerously means that you ask God to provide a situation in which you have no choice but to witness to that person for whom you are praying. So be careful what you pray for, because you might get it. That and that little your will be done. Yeah, watch out for that one too. Don't throw that one around, maybe. So maybe the person will initiate the conversation. Maybe you will have to. When you pray, trust that the Lord will help you and will open ways for you to share your faith. So you may even need to make this intentional too. Yes? Tom?
A few years ago, at one convention, I was rooming with a pastor, and before we went to bed, he had this little notebook, and he opened it. And so I asked him, you know, what it was, and he said, these are all the people that I've come in contact that I said I would pray for. And he said, your name is in there too. But he had this notebook, you know, talking about a reminder. Mm-hmm. So when he went to bed at night, he picked two or three names in that notebook that he prayed for specifically that evening. I thought that was very, really, really neat way of
doing
it. Yeah. He kept that a reminder of the people. Because a lot of times we say, yeah, I'll pray for you.
Yep.
But yep. Then do we really? I mean, maybe once or maybe not at all. But to him, and I always remember excellent reminder.
Yeah. Did I really pray for you?
Yeah.
I hope I prayed for you. No, I know the feeling. I've been there. Yeah. Professor Rich Durgle at the seminary, he's a guy like that. He has this massive prayer journal. And I'm so mad that I'm not one of his wasn't one of his advisees, because he still prays for them. And if they get married, then he prays for them again. He prays for their unborn children. And he prays for their spiritual well-being. And so it's just, you know. So we talk about, does prayer matter? Yes, prayer matters. And is prayer ever going to take the place of Scripture? No. But prayer is an absolute essential part of who we are and what we do. You know, we pray for people. There's another gentleman. If you ever find yourself on the to pray for list in the bulletin, there's, I know at least one gentleman at St. Mark's who will not miss you. I've been to his place, and he showed me his prayer binder, very similar to what Tom was talking about. And so you are going to be prayed for if you are on anything, but it's that intentional. And you know, if you need to set yourself a reminder on your phone, then do that. If you need to put this up on your fridge, and then you need to mark Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, you know, do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes?
And sort of a incentive or something positive about it is when you pray for them and the prayer is answered, write it down if you have a list like that and sort of say, oh, you know, I really like that. Because it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell the story of that. A couple years ago, somebody stole our car, stole our Subaru. I know a bunch of you have heard this story before. And I would come to church, and every time I saw Babu, he would say, hey, Pastor, did you ever come back yet? He'd say, no. You know, my car did not come back. My car is stolen. And I figured it was either Tijuana or Toronto. By now. And so then I saw him again. I said, Pastor, did your car come back? He said, nope. He said, it's coming, because I've been praying for it. Yeah. And then at a Board of Outreach meeting, it was a Tuesday, you know, I got my car back. And I came to Babu. I said, Babu, I got my car back. He said, I know, I was praying for it. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Don't undermine it. Or not undermine it. Don't downplay and forget to do it. Number three. So we talk about building bridges, right? Fostering, nurturing this relationship, you know, kind of grooming this person. You know, that's what I'm doing, but that can't be your end goal. It cannot just be to build a bridge. You have to cross the bridge. So that's number three. Talk about the Savior. Sharing our faith is not talking about our church body or our congregation. Faith sharing is talking about Jesus. We know who he is and we know what he has done for us. We know that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we know that we are forgiven and absolutely are going to live with God in heaven forever, all because of Jesus Christ. We want to share with people our certain hope in Jesus. And so I get it that it takes a certain amount of bridge building to gain someone's trust where you can talk about that. You know, but finally, at the end of the day, you have to pull the trigger in some way. Do you have anything to add to number three?
I have a question about number three. Okay. Does that mean while you're building that bridge, you can't bring up, oh, this God thing happened in my life, and this is what happened, or, hey, let me tell you something that happened at church yesterday. You can't bring that up, or is it, you can bring that up, it's just not your... saying, hey, let me tell you how cool this is.
I think if it naturally comes up, isn't that what we're shooting for? Getting to the point where you feel that comfortable in sharing this? Yes?
But I think the first thing is getting a relationship and learning about that person. We can't do it to say, I'm going to witness to you right now, so have a seat, let me tell you what God's done in my life. You know, and I'm taking it to an extreme.
That's fine.
But that relationship, you can't go without that relationship. That's a reminder.
Okay. Yes, Dave.
And like he's saying, much of that witnessing is listening to what they're about. And then you can throw in your jabs when you...
jabs.
Your jabs. Well,
your suggestions. Okay.
Yeah, listening is important, isn't it? It's the first way to show you care about someone, is you're listening to them. Yes?
Well, there's very subtle ways, too. Stopping at Starbucks, you're all dressed up. They say, where are you going today? Well, I'm going to church. You know, that's a form of witnessing. Our neighbor, who is an unbeliever, sees us come back from church every Sunday. So just by your presence and how you act to people in the workplace and things like that, that's a form of witness.
And if you get a positive interaction with someone, then they go on your friend. And then you're going to pray for that person. And then you might even get a free Starbucks.
Yeah.
Sharon is the queen of free Starbucks on Sunday mornings. Yes. Yes. It's the kid. You have to pray with them.
They're all going to be saying, Mom.
Hey, you had a comment.
I always turn to Jesus' example in the Bible where the woman came to the well and he's there. Now, Jesus, of course, can read into our hearts. We can't read into the hearts of the people that we are talking to. But he talked to her. He brought it to her personal level, which means that he was showing her, I care about you. I care so much that I have to share your salvation with you. And that's a relationship. He was able to do it a lot quicker sometimes than we are. But he knew about this person, so they're right. Listening, caring, calling them all, you know, once in a while and saying, hey, I was thinking about you.
You know, if you have a quick fix for, I don't feel very well today, well, have you tried honey? You know, have you tried this? I think we throw that out there pretty quick, you know, and those are just little things. Why do you do that? Well, because I care. I'm not going to be sick. Have you thought about this? And I'm making, you know, to your point, that, yeah, if you care about someone, you know, to suggest honey, you know,
What about this? Good point.
After my whiplash Friday, Rich Baker suggested tequila and to take care of my feet.
How'd it work? Yes.
Kind of expanding on what Tom was saying, lots of times the bridge building can begin before you even talk to anyone. Just with what you're doing, when someone says good morning, you know, if you talk like them, have a blessed day, things like that. And just, they know you're in church, they know you're involved in lots of things to do with Jesus without ever talking to them around the workplace or wherever you are a lot. Then sometimes they'll even start heading over that bridge towards you when something comes into their life and they're, you know, they remember somebody that's a little different. So it's not always... And that's an even easier way to get started.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Long.
Our buddy George, we have Bible class with George for years on Friday morning. And the one thing that sticks with me about George, well, besides his faithfulness, and he would not be at every Bible class he could, was this truth, and I believe it to be true. People will listen to you when they have asked you a question, if they need something. So if you get to know somebody well enough that they're going to come to you for advice, and take that opportunity to share the true solution to any problem. So if you can build a relationship where they're willing to come to you for help, then you really, they cross the bridge to you. That's key.
If people do take notice, I worked at the craft factory at New Ulm. There's no shortage of stories working at the craft factory at New Ulm. But they do like to make a little bit of fun of you because they know the MLC students and, oh, you're studying to be a pastor. And when you come into the break room, the conversation gets, you know, and the language gets a little bit better, you know, as if somehow I am the elite or whatever. But they also, I also found people coming to talk to me, you know, about whatever, you know, about their family or about this person or that person. So it does create opportunities when you care enough to listen or just live in your life with someone. And when they ask, you know, be ready to share. Oh, and then finally, number four, and I don't know if it's kind of like when you meet that special someone, you just have to know. Or you know when it's time to pull the trigger and to bring Jesus into the equation. Now, invite your family members and friends to join you at church in a Bible study or at some church activity. If they decline, that's it, you blew it. No, if they decline, look for another opportunity to invite them. They'll probably thank you for caring enough, especially if you have a meaningful relationship. You're sharing something very intimate with this person. Look for another opportunity. When unchurched people have been asked why they are not attending some church, a common answer is, no one asked me. The simple solution is invite people to come with you. So hopefully we can get some good mileage out of the Fran sheet. And I know not everybody's going to use it, and that's all right. But if you want to get intentional about remembering people and praying for people, this is a good way to go. And because you need to call in an expert so that it is not pastor telling you, well, what does he know? He's our pastor. This one, the E12 program. Nobody was thinking that, right? You were thinking that? So we're not going to read through this whole thing. Page one is just a little bit of background, what you have to give someone. Well, you have word and sacrament. What I want to look at is starting on page two. Bottom left-hand corner. And I'm not going to read just some of the headers, the benefits of Fran Outreach. Fran Outreach is the type of invitation most likely to be accepted. recently, Lifeway, I'm not sure how recently this is anymore, surveyed 15,000 unchurched adults. Two-thirds said they would visit a church service if asked by a family member. 56% said they would visit if asked by a friend. So you get bigger success rates than if you send out some flyers, or even if you go do some door hangers, or even if you're going, you know, one-on-one and you have a really great experience with someone. If you are their friend, they're so much more likely to say, sure, I'll check that out. Middle of the next column, friend outreach removes the fear factor of visiting a church. You know, it can be rather terrifying to go to someone's church, even if it's for a funeral or for a wedding. You know, I spend a lot of time around church, but going to someone else's church, it's a tricky thing. Even if it's another Wells church and it's time for communion and you happen to be on the aisle in the front pew, yikes. You know, where am I supposed to go? And what if I do it wrong? And so now you don't have a good relationship with Jesus and you're going to church that you've never been to before. So having a friend is a security blanket. So it takes the fear factor out of visiting a church. Turn the page again. We'll get to that. You need to have greeters. You need to have pet hunters in the lobby. You need to have people who are aware and ready to go if we get some visitors. Friend outreach builds follow-up into the process. So it's not just, hey, I invited somebody to church and now I'm done. Or I wrote their name down and prayed for them, now I'm done. It's okay, what's going to happen next? And it's very intentional and well thought out. Bottom right-hand corner on page 3. So there again are the Fran basics. And this might be something we could consider next time we do at Christmas or Easter. Mm-hmm. Outreach, getting more people prepared. It's nothing earth-shattering, Pastor Hines says. You pray, you identify someone, you mail them an invitation, and then you call them. Yes? Yes. Oh, absolutely.
First of all, our church, even though I've been here the first time Pam and I came, it's very confusing because it was winter and the doors were closed. We saw people coming in this door, people coming in that door, this door. And the doors are haunting as it is. I mean, they're not inviting. And so then you come in and there's no greeters. So if you're a visitor, you don't know where to go. So then you go and sit down. The usher hands you this thing and you think, well, what is this and what am I supposed to do with this? But I think where we really miss the boat in every congregation I've been is we feel very comfortable talking to our friends, or worse, my biggest pet peeve is talking to the pastor when we should be talking to visitors or people that don't show up. I try not to talk to the pastor on Sunday morning because I think his focus needs to be on visitors and delinquent members that he sees. I don't want to talk to him about baseball or basketball or Packers or whatever. I can do that during the week. I think the pastor's focus on Sunday morning should be looking out for the people that you don't see on a weekly basis. And then the other one is the handoff. We don't do that very well. Where if I see a visitor, Steve had one 2 weeks ago. The guy came in and said, Steve knew him when he bought his girlfriend, I think it was. But, you know, if I had known that guy, but he disappeared before I could get over there. But the handoff is usually if you see somebody like this, then you grab them and take them to the pastor or somebody else so that it's not just you that know. Have you met Pastor Schmidt? Or do you know Dave? Hopefully not. You know, Miss Peterson, you know, get them to know more people. That way they feel comfortable rather than just going in church and somebody shoving this bulletin in your face and now you don't know, where do I sit? Do I sit on the right? Do I sit on the left? Do I sit in the middle? So, anyway.
For sure. For that.
That's my pet peeve.
That's good feedback for our Board of Outreach, for our Board of Worship. For us as people of God, that's good. You know, you took a you brought up Dave, and so now I feel I can tell you why the doors were closed when you showed up.
They weren't just closing all out.
You're a great help, Pastor.
So you don't want to make it into a program, and it's all about the program. But at the same time, if there's some things we can intentionally do, and some things we can intentionally be aware of, that's great. It's always good reminders.
You know, taking off what Tom said, when people do come in, we had a gentleman this morning. He sat for a while in class, and I met him as he was coming in because we were early, and I asked him, he comes from Mountain Ranch of all places, it's about an hour and a half drive, and we, you know, he said, I said, what, the question always, you know, you said, I introduced the Pastor Stray who was there, and I said, he has been in the church, I said, do you need anything about, you know, what's going on for today? Ask the question, they'll answer, he says, no, I'm all set, okay, back off at that point. But when visitors are coming, if they're already a Wells member, what do you want to know how we do things? Because I have traveled enough to go, as you said, well, do you get up or do you do this? Do you take some churches when we get the wine, we drink it. Other churches, they wait till everybody has the cup and then they drink. So, you know, you play it by ear. So ask them. You know, we all have our idiosyncrasies. So all you do it. And I've even asked a couple of people, can I sit with you? Would you like us to sit next to you to give you some help with this stuff? And you know, most of them will say no. We're sitting, you know, but others are very glad to have that help.
Another, you know, viewer's commenting over here that we do have, you know, some info that will show you a little bit about what you can expect in worship. And so sometimes it's handing a brochure, sometimes it's talking, just being aware. Yes?
Like Tom was saying about pastors, he frees them up to go meet with visitors or try to, everybody should be trying to meet with visitors, you know, instead of talking to their own self. And also, like when we have Lenten and Advent services over here, sometimes you see people sitting alone.
The dinners.
And they keep sitting alone. And if you could just go over and, you know, it might be uncomfortable, but go over and just talk to them. You know, sometimes it's really uncomfortable. But
we're starting to get to, okay.
Yeah, we had one person, as you say, came in and they said, I've been a member here for 20 years. I had never met them. But that's all right, I mean, which is fine. I introduced myself and I said, I'm Steve Ennis, I'm one of the elders. I have never met you in my 10 years in my office. And, you know, sometimes it's going to throw it back. Are you really a member or are you just coming through the door? What can I do to help you? Next question, you know, and then leave it at that. But don't let that intimidate you I've been a member here for 20 years. If you haven't met them and you're regular, you're much more of a member than they.
Upper right hand corner, page 4, some of these things that you're talking about, we're going to skip over now because we addressed them. But upper right hand corner of page 4, a VIC buddy, a VIC buddy. If you get someone to come to class with you, or if you get to the point where you invite, go with them. You know, make that a great, just make an evening out of it, go out to dinner beforehand, or whatever, buy a coffee afterwards. Yeah, make sure you go and support the person that you have invited. And that's a great way to establish that relationship because maybe I'm not ready for church. Maybe I'm not ready for a formal Sunday morning Bible study. But I'll go to your evening class with you. So look for a big button, possibly. Page 5. Just to the right of the mummified people. Sunday morning atmosphere. Upper right hand corner. Sunday morning atmosphere. This is what we are talking about before. When we talk about the divine service, the most important service is done by God. But it's also, we go to be served and we also go at our chance to worship Him and also to reach out for the secondary purpose that we might serve Him too. We have greeters at the doorway to welcome guests. And I think that's an ongoing improving program. And so just the comments today are a reminder that we we can do that job better. And the people who do it really enjoy it, and they do a good job. So to have a little bit more of that. But really, it works best with the entire congregation is, quote unquote, in on it. It is ingrained in our members that when they see someone they don't know, they go and introduce themselves. This isn't done in an overwhelming way. Hi, I'm John. I don't think we've met. Ta-da! Look at that. And you just did it. But it is done. If our leaders or IC guests stand by themselves, not only will we talk to them, we'll direct some of our members to do so too. And that's probably important to remember. If you are not very confident in doing that, there's probably somebody that you know is. You know, go grab Dick Riedel. He'll go talk to anybody. Yeah. So you probably know who those people are that you can. Have fellowship. Nail that one. Here's what was brought up earlier. This is a second paragraph from the end of page 5. Our church council has a mutual agreement. No shop talk until everyone else has left church. As leaders in the church, they are modeling this concept of welcoming visitors warmly. And so don't use your precious Sunday morning time to talk shop. So just something you can spend as much or as little time with this as you want to. I just wanted to nail the highlights. And as we are thinking about our friend and getting ourselves all psyched up or psyched out of doing this because no way can I do this, and what if I don't do it right? Somebody shared a video with me, and I want to share it with you. Don't make this too hard. Don't make this too complicated. So a little bit of fun with a purpose. It should be going.
No sound.
No matter. Okay, I'm
sabotaging you. That's okay.
Give you some bad ways of...
All right, take two.
On this stage, we would like to, me and Tommy and I would like to give you some bad ways of witnessing, okay? So,
yeah, don't miss this. These are bad ways to witness, all right? Bad.
So that way you do not do these things out there in the world. So
it's a public service announcement.
It really is. Now maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you know you volunteer in your church. This is a bad way of witnessing. We call it the sing-song method. All right, class, I'm going to be your teacher today.
Hi, teacher.
Hi. Well, I'm a substitute teacher.
Yeah, what's your name?
Well, my name is Mr. Drummond.
What you talking about?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Yeah.
Like the goat. But I'm not really a goat.
You're a little boy.
I'm just a kid.
Okay, all right.
I'm a kid. Don't
just
touch.
A kid.
Stranger danger. It's okay. It's all good. You're supposed to sign a paper.
I did.
We're good.
All right, I'm going to teach you a song.
Okay.
And the whole class. I'm going to teach the whole class a song
that
they can share with their
friends. I love to sing songs.
Well, good. We're going to do that.
Okay.
We're going to do a song.
Okay.
And I'll we'll do it right now.
Okay.
And this is what the song goes. It goes like this.
Okay.
It goes, if I had Jesus in a little bitty box. If I had Jesus in a little bitty box, what are you doing?
Shaking my groove thing.
If I had Jesus in a little bitty box, I'd take him out and wong, 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 and share him with a friend.
Oh, I like that song. I want to sing that song. That's a happy song.
We're all going to sing it.
Okay.
Not you.
hey. No, sir.
No, sir.
No,
no
sir.
Sir.
I am the teacher.
No, you're
no, not.
You are not. No.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Stop.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
I'm the teacher.
No. Snow. Snow. I'm the teacher.
Snow. Here we go.
Here we go.
Not you. Hey, who are you talking to?
Johnny.
Oh, Johnny Baker?
Yeah.
He's a cute kid. He can sing.
Okay.
He may grow up one day and lead some of our recovery stuff.
I doubt it.
Think I know.
Okay. Okay.
Little Johnny can sing.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Not you.
Hey.
I'm serious, Johnny. I will rough you up.
Hey. No, sir.
Sir.
You do
no,
not do
no,
that.
No.
Why are you saying that to Johnny?
Because Johnny's the devil.
No, he's not. No, he's not. No, no.
You seen those tattoos?
What? No. No. He's not the devil. No, sir.
Uh-huh.
No.
Look at me, I'm Johnny.
I'm a worshiping dead.
Outreach is all about. We share. We're a lie on a hill. We share. Okay, I need you, little Billy, I need you to go ahead and just share Jesus with a friend.
I really love Jesus.
I know you do, but let's just go ahead and share him with a friend. Share him with a friend, Billy. Share. Go. No. Okay, what are you doing?
No more sleepers.
I'm trying to get Jesus in my heart.
Okay. That's not against your heart, Billy. Billy, little
no.
Kids take things literally.
He just has to go down and take a lift.
Okay. This is not how you, Billy, spit him out. Billy, spit him out. Billy.
That was a long fall for a little guy.
You okay?
You need a child in Sunday school.
Sorry.
You probably hear from my dad's lawyer.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, put Jesus back in the box.
Okay. Well, he was running. You're fast for a guy in sandals. I bet you can't run backwards fast in sandals.
Because they come off your feet.
Okay, all right. Put it back in the box.
Okay. Sit there in the... Okay.
All right. Set the box down.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'm going to teach you the rest of the song.
Okay.
Here we go, all right? I had a bit, Billy.
I'm sorry, Jesus.
Oh, that's sweet. He forgives
you. Don't touch me.
He forgives you. Okay, here we go. All eyes on me. Billy.
I'm sorry he's such a mean man.
Okay. I'm not trying to be a mean man, Billy. I'm just trying to teach the class a song. Billy.
I'm glad you took away all his hair.
Okay, you know what? No, sir. No more. Billy.
His head looks like my bottom.
Okay, get up. No more. That is a bad way of witnessing. Thanks. Now, the whole time we're here, they're going to be looking at my head. Things looks like a bottom.
Sounds like it, too.
Okay, stop it.
Wait, is there a point there? I don't know, but you laughed. Yeah. What is the point of the video?
Don't teach children about Jesus.
Don't teach kids about Jesus. Yes. Yes. Okay. Keep going. I think we have just enough time. I mean, they'll tell us.
The next bad way of witnessing is the in-your-face method. Hey, God, I think we have a great way of witnessing to people. I've written down some scripture, so you just bring it my way and I'll do the rest. You bring it my way and I'll do the rest. Excuse me. Yeah. Jesus loves you. Bad ways of witnessing.
Depending on what side of town you're on. That might be a good one, just so you know.
The next bad way of witnessing is the servanthood method.
Oh, hey, God, I am really not good with words and talking, but I know I need to share with people, so just help me be a servant to people. Just whatever's mine is theirs. Just help me serve them, all right? Oh, the cold coffee, that's nasty.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, are you ready for the meeting?
Yeah, I think so.
I've been up all night getting ready for that meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's a bad idea. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You ready to go?
Yeah, I hope so.
Is that coffee?
Yeah.
Can I get a drink of coffee?
No, you don't want it.
No, I've just been up all night. I just need to swing your coffee.
No, I know you don't want this.
I want to drink your coffee. No, I don't have time. Just give me a swing of coffee.
No, it's not that.
No, why don't you give me a...
Okay, no.
Listen.
No,
you listen.
You don't listen.
You listen.
You said no.
Listen.
It's just this
coffee.
So I can listen to you? This is my vinegar.
You know what people say about you, Roman Solomon? Do you know what they say about you? You know what they say about you, okay? They call you a tinker, okay? They say you're selfish. Is that what you want to be known for? Is a taker? Is that what you want to be known for? Is that your legacy as a taker? How about for once in your life, you quit being a taker and you just be a giver and you give me a sip of your coffee?
Okay.
Is there half and half in here?
Kinda.
Is this a mocha?
More like a muka.
Bad ways of witnessing. But if I could just tell you right now, the greatest thing that happened to me was when I was a senior in high school. It was the month of September, and my buddy Tommy, he invited me to church. And I don't remember what was said or what was sung, but that night I knew I needed a Savior, and it changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah, the truth of the matter is I'd never invited anyone to church before I invited him to church. And I didn't realize that night that God was going to change his life and in the process change my life. And what God did in him and through him and in me is the primary reason that we're with you today and that we get to do what we get to do. So God bless you.
Thanks, guys.
So don't overthink it. Yes, it's good to children's ministry, good thing. Loving your neighbor, sharing is a good thing. Asking God to send someone into your life to share scripture, good thing. Invite someone to church. Yeah, keep it that simple. Thank you. We don't need to put anything away, but maybe if we could just tidy up the chairs a little bit so that Mr. and Mrs. Walker can be honored today.